Hey everybody, Elizabeth here. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to make sure that you know registration is currently open for our Spring Strong Foundations cohort. Strong Foundations is a 5-week strength building program brought to you by me and Morgan Bungers. Coach Morgan Bungers is one of the best, most effective strength training coaches in this country. He has worked with some of the most elite athletes in the world, and now he specializes working with people in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s who want everyday strength. And this is not about being able to push your suitcase into the overhead compartment on an airplane. We need to be consistently and effectively strength training if we want to maintain the strength of our immune system. Muscle is a critical part of our immune system, and if we are not actively maintaining our strength, we are losing it as we age, and that means we are losing the strength of our immune system. It's also a significant component of our overall metabolism, especially our carbohydrate metabolism. Muscle mass plays a huge role in energy, in mood, mental health, bone health, so many different things. This is just not optional, but a lot of us don't do it because we aren't sure what to do. We aren't sure what not to do. We aren't sure if we're moving well. We don't know how to accommodate for our physical limitations or our current level of fitness, and that is why you need a coach, and you'd be hard-pressed to find one better than Morgan Bungers. Now, here's the thing about fitness programs. I've experienced this. My mom, who's in her 70s, has experienced this, where you buy a fitness program and then you're like, okay, but I can't do that workout because I'm not fit enough, or I don't have enough balance, or I don't have that equipment, or that hurts my knees, or it hurts my back. And then you're sort of just left to figure it out yourself, which means we often don't do anything. The great thing about Strong Foundations is that Morgan and I are part of it every single day, and you have an unlimited ability to ask us questions in a group setting or via direct message so that Morgan can help you scale for you, for whatever equipment you have, for the time that you have, for your fitness level, for your body and your physical limitations. 5 weeks. There's two different tiers. There's a beginner intermediate tier. There's an intermediate advanced tier. The testimonials that we have received from our previous clients will blow your mind. You can check them out and also register for your spot by going to primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. If you are an alum, if you have been through Strong Foundations before, I've already emailed you a renewal link with a special renewal rate, so please use that. If you don't see that email, let me know. For the rest of you, primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. We start on May 13th, so grab your spot now. You will have these workouts for life. 4 workouts a week for 5 weeks, 2 different tiers. So you've got 40 workouts total. Plus, there is a 5-part series on your pelvic floor. That is an incredibly important part of your physical fitness, of your strength, of your core strength, of your overall health, of your ability to maintain functional mobility as you get older. We want you to be a part of this. You will not regret joining the Strong Foundations cohort. It is an incredible community. Everybody needs to be consistently and effectively strength training. And if you're not, it's probably because you don't know how to make it work for you. And it can be made to work for you. It needs to be made to work for you. primalpotential.com/strongfoundation to register now. Let's get into the episode.
This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. It is a Saturday show, which means I'm still Elizabeth Benton, but I am back again with Christopher.
Yes, she is. Lucky you.
The husband. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? We don't usually record in the PM hours.
We do not. So
this is an evening recording, which I can't even remember the last time I recorded a podcast at night, but it was a necessity because we got things going on.
Yes.
It has been tough to coordinate schedules and
many things.
Many, many things. We're ripping our roof off our house.
We are.
You're taking aerial video of yachts and selling houses, and I'm running a business, and we got two doggies in the house, and we're going to Florida in a day.
It's true stories. All true stories. So sprinkle in some doctor's appointments and workouts. And I know. Where do you find the time to sleep?
Yes. So we PM record. We do an evening recording. But you know what? After this, you know what I'm excited about?
Ice cream. Fish.
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 The haddock I just picked up from the fish market.
Haddock flavored ice cream. You'd think it wouldn't be good, but it's surprisingly disgusting.
You know, just some haddock with some lemon. It's going to be yummy. It's going to be yummy. All right.
I can't wait.
So we have a winner today.
We do have a winner, and they won something.
They won something, and I decided to do a repeat of last week because I got a bunch of emails from people who were like, I want Energy Plus. So, like, we give the people what they want.
But also, super easy way to get Energy Plus when you want Energy Plus.
Yeah, buy it.
We can help you out with that, too, if you just want to email Christopher.
There's that.
At primalpotential.com.
There's that. Funny.
But, I mean, I understand. Free, if it's free, it's for me. I mean, I get wanting to win it.
So we're going to give away Energy Plus again today. And all you got to do, if you want to win, there's three ways. I say this every week, so if you've missed it, you must be new here. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. Nice to meet you. There's three ways to win. Every Saturday, we give something away. No matter where in the world you live, you can either leave a review of Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon, leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, or you can share on social media. Just make sure to tag me, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or whatever new thing is this week, and share something that you've loved or learned or an episode that you've listened to. And then every single Saturday, we pick somebody to win and we'll announce the winner at the end of the show. We're starting with a really strange question, but it actually came in, so we're going to do it.
Yeah, it came in like 2 days ago.
And what you got?
Question number one. It's a fun question. Are you ticklish?
Is it a fun question, though?
It depends.
I don't know. You know what's funny? Like we both got this email, and I was like, we don't tickle each other.
I can tell you, I have tickled Elizabeth. She is ticklish, but she hates it.
Yeah, like, I mean, my first thought was like, I'm not a kid, so I'm not in the, like, tickle game, you know?
She's definitely not in the tickle game.
I am ticklish.
And she hates it.
Yeah, so like tickling has not been part of my life since I was maybe six, four, three, little kid.
Except for when I do it to annoy her, and it works like, never. Like really well. So.
I can't even think of a time that you've like tickled me.
I can.
Okay, well, are you ticklish? A little bit. Next.
Nobody tickles me.
let's go on right on. See, we'll answer any question, even if we're like, that's odd. But
I mean, you get the honest answer, though.
That's true. What you got?
All right. Question number two is a serious question from the same person.
Mm-hmm.
What has been the most action creating business mindset advice you've received? I.e., someone told you something and it immediately called you into action on the thing you were creating.
I feel like I had a thought when I saw this email came through, and it's probably because it's evening time. I have no thought right now. Hold on. Let me look at this question so I can see if like it brings something. The most action creating business mindset advice.
Yeah.
Business mindset advice. You know, I don't think this was advice, but one thing that I would consider action creating mindset advice, which would be very different from like action creating money advice. Two things. I can't think that they came from somebody, so I don't know that this is advice I received versus something that I just kind of intuited. Is that how do you say that word?
Intuited?
No, intuited? I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
Came up with on her own.
Right. one is if you want to double your business, triple your growth. I have that. I created a poster here in the office that says that if you want to double your business, triple your growth. And what that means isn't like growth of your email list or growth of your podcast downloads. It's growth of yourself. If you want to double your business, triple your personal growth, 3x the capacity of your mind, 3x the capacity of your perspective, 3x the quality of your thoughts. That's been huge for me. It's less action creating, though, I would say. To go specifically to action creating business mindset. One thing, and I think this just came from like a few years of struggle, is that fear of judgment is really self-centered. And I used to be hesitant. Like I used to, Chris, you probably remember this. I like never went on video for the longest time.
True story.
And now I go on video every single day.
And she hates it, but she's getting so good at it.
Well, I don't, it's not my favorite thing to do because quite frankly, I'm just not, I'd rather do things kind of more behind the scenes than like front facing. That's just my personality. I'm an introvert. So the interacting with people stuff just isn't like my favorite thing when it's on video. With the exception of webinars, I don't mind that. But anyway, I used to not do it because inevitably, and Chris has seen some of this, like people say just rude, mean stuff. Like people comment on the wrinkles on my forehead. People comment on like my hairline. People comment on my teeth. People comment. And you know, some of the comments are nice, but a lot of the comments aren't nice. Anyway,
and,
I digress.
And really unnecessary regardless.
But I digress. For those reasons, I used to really avoid going on video. And then I realized that fear of judgment, I don't want to do it because I just don't want to deal with the crap that comes with it. It's very self-centered. It has me at the center of the story. So I'm putting myself and my insecurities or my preferences ahead of what could really be of value to somebody else. And so I'm valuing me not wanting to deal with dumb comments. I'm valuing that over what I have that can help somebody. And when I realized just how self-centered that is, I was like, well, I don't want to be like that. I want to be the kind of person who desires to help people so much that if that means that people comment on the wrinkles on my forehead, you know, then
so be it.
Right. Exactly. So I would say that's the answer to that question. I don't know what that accent was.
I don't either.
That was weird. Anyway.
Well, it's evening. That's her evening accent, folks. Question number three. What small change has created the largest ripple effect for yourself or others?
I don't know how to answer it for others because I can't.
How do I measure that?
For me, what small change has created the largest ripple effect? Working on the way that I think, like asking questions. I think to be very, very specific. Chris just mouthed, oh my God, because his computer made a sound. It's fine. It's fine. People are going to be fine. If anybody gets their feathers ruffled because your computer just made a sound, move along to like a Wondery podcast that's highly edited. Anyway, reasonable suggestion. The small change that has created the biggest ripple effect for me is
adding me to the podcast on Saturdays.
Asking questions. Like if I'm making a change at work. How, you know, I've shared this before, but sometimes Susie is our COO and we'll be brainstorming about something and we'll both kind of feel like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, I hope this works. And I'll ask, what do we need to do to be totally 100% confident? What needs to change? What needs to happen for us to feel like this is going to be amazing, right? It is our responsibility to have a plan that creates confidence. Or if, you know, I'm just not in the mood. Like tonight, as I was going for a walk, I was like, it would just be great to order pizza tonight. So then I ask myself, well, what else could I do that I would really look forward to and enjoy that would also make me feel great afterwards? Because I know from experience eating pizza, I don't feel so great afterwards. I don't feel so great in the morning. Just kind of like thick, puffy, heavy, no bueno. So I ask myself, like, what could I eat tonight that I would really look forward to that would be like, oh, that's going to be amazing. And also makes me feel great. Those kinds of questions, hence the haddock from the fish shop on the way home from the canal. But those kinds of questions are transformative. I use them in our relationship, asking questions. I use them in business. I use them with fitness. I use them with food. So I would say regularly asking questions. That's the answer there.
Very nice. Question number four. Which is better to overcome sweets addiction? Complete abstinence or restricted but regular consumption?
Okay, so sweets addiction is interesting because I would say you're not addicted, but if you have the perspective that you are, you're kind of creating an additional problem. But that's we'll address the question that came in. What's better for that? Complete abstinence or restricted but regular consumption? I would ask you, and this goes back to what's helped me the most, I would ask you, what do you want your ideal relationship with sweets to be? So if I use myself as an example, I want to have ice cream or a cupcake or something like that 2 or 3 times a month. Like that's kind of the ideal relationship that I want to have with food. Now, it used to be that I had those things every day, often multiple times a day. And that's why I was over 350 pounds. And that's why I was depressed. And that's why I had mood swings. And that's why I had irregular menstrual cycles. But we can't answer that question without saying, what do you want for life? What is your ideal relationship with sugar for the rest of your life? If you want to be the person who never touches it again, then like, let's start with that, an abstinence. The problem is, I have yet to meet somebody who says, I never want to, I'm sure they're out there. I just haven't interacted with them or had that conversation with them. Most people want to enjoy it regularly. And everybody is going to define that differently. And that's fine. Maybe for some person, it's once a week or twice a week. Maybe for some people, it's once a quarter. No right or wrong. But the problem is, if you go to complete abstinence, then how do you ever learn to moderate? Right. How do you ever learn what that is with you? So I say, start with what it is that you want, right? And start with what is an improvement for you. If you're somebody who's having processed sugar, little bit of candy at work, maybe a, you know, a cookie in the break room, and then you come home and you have some ice cream at night, so you're having 2-3 things during the day, then maybe we start by going down to 1, and that would be a huge improvement. Like, if I could get to there, that would be great.
Right.
Maybe if you're somebody who's doing once a day, you're indulging once a day, then we say, oh, how do you feel about going to 5 days a week? Can we start there? But let's look at what's an improvement for you, but the first question has to be, what do you want? I don't think anybody should entertain the idea of abstaining unless that is what they want for the rest of their life. If you don't intend to do it forever, if you don't want that to be your lifestyle, then you're not teaching yourself that skill in abstaining.
Yeah, life doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Well, and that's why so many people will do, and it kind of like, it's a little cringy to me. People are like, I'm going to do a 21-day sugar detox. Well, what the heck happens on day 0? And what happens on day 22? You know, most people are going to have a ton of sugar on day 0.
Binge it.
And then they're going to go have sugar on day 22. It's like, what did we learn here? What did we learn here? That you can be really disciplined for 3 weeks? We knew that already.
Right.
But what about for the rest of your life? What about for who you want to be? What about for the habits you want to maintain for the rest of your life? So next.
So figure out what it is you want. And now we'll go on to the next question.
Yes.
What is your number one tool you recommend to use daily? I think I know.
Tell me what you think you know.
Journaling.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. As you were reading it, I was like, oh, journaling or questions. But the funny thing is, I ask questions when I journal.
Yeah, same. You can do them both at the same time.
Quite yeah. Easy. So the thing about journaling that is really powerful about it, which is not the same thing as keeping a diary, right? Somebody posted in the Facebook group, and it was, I'm so glad they did. They said, if I use my journal to just like complain about everything in my life, is that effective? And I said, is it working?
Yeah,
like, what is the outcome that you want? What do you, if you want a chronicle of everything that upsets you, like if that's what you're looking for, to be like, I have 10 years of everything that pissed me off here in writing. If that's the outcome, then yes, it is effective. If you're doing it because the goal is to feel better, do you feel better?
Right.
But we could, I'm super, I'm all over the place tonight. This is why I record in the morning.
That's totally the airing of the grievances of writing down everything that upsets you.
Well, and that's why I distinguish between like journaling and writing a diary. But the thing that is really powerful about journaling, that's where I started, that's where I need to go. Focus, Elizabeth. It slows you down a little bit. So many things happen in our lives. We're making decisions on the go without considering. If we could learn to slow down our brains and be like, wait, let me pump the brakes here. Before I open my mouth and say this, what am I trying to achieve? What is it that I want in my relationship, right? Before I just like snark, snap, whatever, how do I want our night to be tonight? What do I want for our relationship? If we can teach our brains to slow down, if instead of opening the refrigerator at 9 o'clock and it's like, oh, leftover brownies, if we could slow down to consider, how do I want to feel in the morning? Am I really hungry? Does this align with the intentions that I set for my day today? Is this who and how I want to be? Do I need this? Do I want this? Is it worth it? If we can train our brains to just slow down a little bit instead of being so impulsive and so reactive, naturally we make better decisions. Journaling helps us do that. It helps us slow down. It helps us think about what we're doing, think about what we're choosing, think about what we're saying. And so while questions are huge, typically when I'm journaling and when I'm using the identity journal with my clients, we're asking questions. What does it look like to win today? What would it take for me to go to bed tonight feeling proud? if I were the ideal version of me, how would I show up today? Okay, of those things, which of them can I incorporate into my day? So we journal with questions, so I would say journaling.
I was right.
Congratulations.
It's about time.
You win haddock for dinner.
Oh, does it have the skin on it?
Nope. I asked for it not to.
Yeah, you really let me down.
I'm sorry.
Actually, Elizabeth likes it with the skin on it because when you can get it nice and crispy,
I know,
it's
but
like
I'm not
candy.
Really, really good at that. So I just went no skin to keep it easy. Enough. Next Fair question.
Enough. Next question. How do you lose weight by dealing with mindset alone? What is the plan for food? How are you supposed to know what to eat?
We're not dealing with mindset alone. We're dealing with choices via mindset. And it's funny because in so many things in life, people think it's this or it's that. It's mindset or it's a food plan. It's willpower or it's off the rails. It's usually not either or. It's usually both. So it's not mindset alone. It's food choices via mindset. So when we're using our identity journal, for example, what does it look like to win the day? How can I go to bed tonight feeling proud? That's very much mindset, but it's going to guide you to choices about food. Winning the day is not, well, I'm going to scarf down the cookies in the break room before anybody sees that they're there, right? I mean, we're going about food via mindset. Mindset is the way by which we make choices. In terms of how are you supposed to know what to eat? This is so grossly overcomplicated, it's frustrating. And let's be clear, the reason it's overcomplicated is because a lot of people are selling diets. People are selling keto diets. People are selling macro counting. People are selling calorie counting, blah, 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 blah. And then people talk themselves out of action because they don't know the details. Let me simplify it for you. Please. Eat more real food. Eat less processed food. Eat a lot of plants. Eat clean. Clean is whole foods. Clean is doesn't have a list of ingredients, right? So, perimeter of the grocery store. If it's in the interior, limit it. If it's on the perimeter, go for it. You don't need to know, like, well, should I be having sweet potatoes or are carbs bad, right? You just need to make gradual improvements. And the other thing we have to do is listen to our body's fuel needs. Just because it is fruit, vegetable, meat, blah, 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 if you are not hungry, you do not need to eat. If you just ate an hour ago, you probably do not need to eat unless you just ran a marathon, you know, in the last 60 minutes.
And also, if you're running a marathon in 60 minutes, congratulations to you.
Seriously. But the like, what should I eat thing panics people. What I have my people start with is, what would make today better than yesterday? There's not anybody who's ever been stumped on that. There's not. I really think that it's kind of like a often subconscious delay tactic. Like, I don't know if I should be doing paleo or keto or primal or this or that or whole 30 or 21 day. What does it look like to make today better than yesterday? What would it take for you to go to bed tonight feeling proud? And sometimes people treat diets like a religion. You know, I got to do this whole 30 or I got to do keto. And if I didn't do it right, then I screwed up and I've got to start over. Some days my way of eating looks keto. Some days it doesn't at all. Some days my way of eating looks primal. Some days my way of eating looks paleo. Some days my way of eating looks vegetarian. Some day my way of eating doesn't look vegetarian because my preferences are different. But the thing that doesn't change is mostly whole foods, limit processed foods, listen to your body. But that's a great question. My chair squeaking. Is that why you're looking at me?
Yeah. Like, yeah. All these noise that I would make and feel terrible about. You're just like, willy-nilly. Evening recording.
Look, if somebody's getting upset because my chair is squeaking, go listen to a Wondery podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question. Mm-hmm. How can I become more organized in control of all aspects of my life?
This is where specificity is super, super powerful.
All aspects of my life isn't specific enough?
No, and more organized isn't either. Because like, okay, if I was on the phone with this person, because I had a coaching call about this actually earlier today, and I actually made some notes on it that are right here in front of me right now. Convenient. This person said, I have magnificent plans for my life. And I was like, well, what are they? Silence.
Great things.
I want to make such big improvements.
Wonderful things.
Yeah.
All of the things.
I want to make big improvements. What kind of improvements? Well, I want to like be healthier. How? You know, very, very, very vague. So,
of course.
So if somebody said to me, whatever this question is, I lost my place here. Okay. How do I become more organized? Where do you want to be more organized in my life? But where specifically?
This person answers questions like I do.
No. You say, I don't know.
Okay. So they answer questions better than I do.
Exactly. In my imagination, because I'm answering for them here. So I would say, how do I become more organized? Where do you want to be more organized? List out the areas. I want to be more organized at home. Break that out even further. I want to be more organized at work. Break that out further. If you were as organized as you want to be in your kitchen, what would that look like? If you were as organized as you want to be in your car, in your bathroom, with your finances, with your food, what would that look like? Then you're going to have the steps right there. Once you get super specific, then it's like, okay, well, what can I do about that today? If I were as organized as I wanted to be today, how would that go? What would I do? Maybe you start in your closet, start somewhere, but honest to goodness, the answer to the how is in the specifics of the question. Next.
Boom. How do you like them apples? How can I learn to be content without a relationship?
I think asking questions. What part of your life do you really love? Or what would have to be different for you to be more excited about some other area of your life? Do you need to develop better friendships? Do you need to do different kinds of things with your friends? Do you need to travel more? Do you need to spend more time with family? What does it look like? Do you need a hobby? Whatever that is for you. But I would start to ask, how can I enjoy things more? One of the changes that I made recently, we brought in a company to help us with the landscape here on the property, and not so much like trees and shrubs and cleanup, but giving us a maintenance plan for the apples and for the grapes and for the cherry trees and peach trees, and designing a garden and installing a garden and then teaching us how to do it, because that's one of the things that I know I would get a lot of joy out of. I really get a stupid amount of joy from collecting the eggs from the chicken coops, from making breakfast with eggs from our chickens, or even like our tiny little patio tomato plant that we have, bringing in the tomatoes and throwing them in an omelet, and having those chickens and the lobsters that Chris pulls from our lobster traps and all of that. It brings me a lot of joy. So then I'm like, well, how can I grow that? How can I have that be something? Because quite frankly, getting the eggs from the chicken coops is like a 30-second task. How can I get more of that feeling that I really love on this property? What is that going to take? So I made that step. So look at your friendships. Look at your work. Look at your hobbies. What would it take for me to enjoy this more, to get more out of it? And I think that a lot of fulfillment will come from that. It doesn't mean that you don't have to want a relationship or pursue a relationship even, but start looking at the other areas of your life and ask what it will take for you to get more fulfillment and joy from those things that are already there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you need to find more contentment in your life?
No.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah.
I'm all right. I could do things better, but I don't need more contentment.
Okay.
All right. Final question. Where do I find my willpower?
Fortunately for all of us, it's not that it's hiding. Number one, you create it. Number two, what does willpower mean to you? Sometimes people are like, I have no willpower. I have no willpower. Well, what is willpower to you? Doing the things that I said I would do when I don't want to do them. Like if that was somebody's answer, I'd say, okay, well, what is the thing that you want to do regardless of whether you want to do it? Oh, workout. Okay, well, what is your ideal workout? Like if you had the ideal workout week, what would that look like? Oh, I'd love to go to the gym 5 times a week and, you know, be there for 40 minutes. Okay, when are you going to go this week? Put it on the calendar. Oftentimes willpower is a byproduct of action, and we treat it like it's a prerequisite to action. But it's not. You don't need willpower to get up when the alarm goes off or to go to the gym when you said you would. The follow through, the stick to it, often flows from the thing that you are doing.
And all it takes is practice.
Yeah. So I would get really specific on, again, we could keep going back to specificity because that's why a lot of people aren't taking action, because they're not getting specific. So what is that thing? And define it, put it on your calendar, make it happen, get in a rhythm and a routine without willpower. Willpower is going to be the byproduct. It's not going to be a precursor. You don't need to find it in order to follow through. If you have the discipline, the willpower will be a result of that. Think of it as like, where's my fitness? Well, you go to the gym very consistently over time, you're going to create your fitness. You don't need to find your fitness. You don't need to hope for it prior to going to the gym. And I know most people know that, but I want you to think about willpower in the same exact context.
Hmm. Very, very nice.
Me and my squeaky chair are going to wrap things up here. Maybe
Please
you can
do
de-squeak the chair this week.
Maybe
at some
when
point.
We get back from Florida. I got enough to go on tomorrow before we leave.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You want to say who our winner is of
our
Energy
winner,
Plus?
Our super duper winner of Energy Plus is at Allison Steinberg 7. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, but Allison Steinberg 7.
You have won a box of Energy Plus, and all you have to do to claim your prize is email christopher@primalpotential.com within the next 60 days, and we will get it out in the mail to you ASAP.
And you ASPCA.
Can win, and you can win, too. You can win, too. So yes. Just do the things we said at the top of the show, and every single Saturday, we give something away because we're cool like that.
We are cool like that. Don't forget to spay and neuter your pets. And there it is.
Oh,
one
my
of
goodness.
My favorite mantras, because Elizabeth's phone likes to randomly play things.
That's not the first time that's happened.
It is not.
That's super. Remember when that used to happen in the car all
the
time?
In the car. No matter what, it would just start randomly playing whatever voice note you had on your phone.
Yeah, like I send a lot of voice notes to people, clients and stuff when they email me. And we would just be driving and all of a sudden like my voice note to a client would just start randomly playing on the audio in the stereo in the car. It was really creepy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It happened a lot too.
It did happen so much.
Wow, that kind of felt like that.
That's why I won't buy iPhones.
Oh boy. Anyway, Allison Steinberg 7, congratulations. You're going to love Energy Plus. And for the rest of you, they're like, I want to win Energy Plus. Buy it and good things will come to you.
This is also true. You can buy it, fall in love with it, and help other people buy it.
There you go.
It's incredible.
All right, everybody. Have an amazing day. We're going to go eat haddock.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential Podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.